Our reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. Hear God's word. You who are servants, be good servants to your masters, not just to good masters, but also to bad ones. What counts is that you put up with it for God's sake when you're treated badly for no good reason. There's no particular virtue in accepting punishment that you well deserve. But if you're treated badly for good behavior and continue in spite of it to be a good servant, that is what counts with God. This is the kind of life you've been invited to, the kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done, and also know how to do it step by step. He never did one thing wrong, not once said anything amiss. They called him every name in the book, and he said nothing back. He suffered in silence, content to let God set things right. He used his servant body to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of sin, free to live the right way. His wounds became your healing. You were lost sheep with no idea who you were or where you were going. Now you're named and kept for good by the shepherd of your souls. May God give us understanding of this holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. It hasn't been an easy week, as we mentioned earlier. We've seen friends and family members pass away. We see others that we love fighting a hard fight with illness. We see people we care about in all kinds of difficult situations with big battles on their hands. And it would be easy to grow discouraged. It would be easy to just give up. As believers, it wouldn't be strange for us to ask, shouldn't it be easier for us? Shouldn't there be perks to being a Christian? I mean, if we're following the good life, shouldn't there be certain advantages? But as we look around, what we see over and over is that stuff happens. And whether you're a believer or not a believer, the bad stuff still is out there. And there's some who think that, well, if we're Christians, and some who even advocate this, if we're Christians, somehow we should be spared any difficulty. We should be spared those challenges. We should have some advantage. But here's the funny thing. When you look at the scriptures, start to finish, and you look at all the stories of all the people who followed God through the ages, there is not one story in there that I've been able to find of anyone who's had a perfect life. Have any of you found any? There's not one. In fact, what is absolutely amazing as you look at the scriptures is you find that the people that God seemed to love the most often had to go through the most difficult challenges. And that's scary, isn't it? It's a little bit scary when you realize that following God is not going to make it easier in terms of being protected from difficult things happening in our lives. I've heard, unfortunately, so many people who have professed strong faith in Christ until things got difficult. And then when they have prayed and the answers have not been coming the way they wanted, they've given up. And they've said, well, what's the point then? Why should I bother? And that's probably a fair question. Many of you know I'm a fan of King Duncan, who's a great preacher. And he shared, Philip Yancey wrote a book called Disappointment with God. It's a great title, isn't it? For many people, there are struggles and disappointments that are just hard to reconcile with their faith. And so he was trying to sort through how when things that are grossly unfair happen to people of faith. How do they deal with it? How do they sort it through? How do they make sense of it? He tells a story about how in the mid-16th century, there were these 50 nuns who were being led by Sister Teresa of Avila, who later became a saint. And they were traveling on foot during this very rugged storm, and they had to cross over this cavernous pit, this valley, over water on this very rickety bridge. And they were scared to death in the storm that that bridge would give way, but they had to get across somehow. So they started crossing, and sure enough, the bridge breaks and they all end up in the water. And they were all okay, you know, a little bruised here and there, but they were all okay. And Sister Teresa said to have said, "Lord, if this is the way you treat your friends, it is little wonder you have so many foes." Have you ever felt that way? Lord, if this is the way you treat your friends, what's up with that? Now, of course, she was joking. She had a wonderful sense of humor. But she articulated something that we, a lot of times, struggle with. If we're your friends, Lord, what's going on here? Why do these things happen? And they do happen, and they continue to happen. Well, also, as Yancey was preparing this book, he wanted to find somebody who had been through particularly difficult circumstances, because he felt, well, surely anybody who's just been through really horrible stuff is going to maybe have some not-so-pretty feelings about God. And so he heard about this man by the name of Douglas, and Douglas, he was a really good man and a really well-meaning man. He was a psychotherapist who had a very prosperous business, and he was doing everything right. He had a lot of wealthy people who came to see him, and he was just, life was good. So then he made a choice. He decided that as a follower of Christ, that he wanted to be serving those who were underserved, those who were in need. So he left his big, prestigious position, and he started working with people in the inner city. Now, there are those of us who from time to time work these little bargains with God. And we figure, okay, if I'm doing, you know, a really good thing, hopefully that means God's going to take really good care of me. That didn't quite happen with Douglas. Not long after he started this new chapter in his life, his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she went through all kinds of treatments and things that kind of turned their life upside down. Those of you who've been through it, you know, we know the drill, right? And then it went into the lungs, so things got even more complicated. But that's not the end of the story. On top of that, they end up in a horrible car accident. There's a drunk driver who crashes into them head on. His 12-year-old daughter goes through the windshield. His wife is injured, but he actually experiences the worst injuries. His vision is impacted. He has double vision. His balance is bad. He can hardly even walk up and down stairs. He can no longer read, and reading is the great love, the great thing that he enjoys doing. A modern-day Job. So Yancey decides that he's going to have a talk with Douglas. He figures that he's going to get some interesting comments from this guy. And he said, "You know, I'm writing this book on disappointment with God, and I started thinking of all the people I know who might be likely to disappointed with God, and your name came to mind. So tell me, what is your reaction to the things that happened in your life? And are you disappointed in God?" Douglas had a rather interesting and surprising answer. He said, "You know, I don't think I've ever been disappointed with God." And Yancey was really, he was very shocked by that. And he said, "Well, how can this be?" And Douglas said, he said, "You know, Philip, I learned a long time ago, and especially through this accident, not to confuse God with life. Is life unfair? You bet. My life has been unfair. What has happened to my wife? What's happened to my daughter? What has happened to me? It's unfair. But I think God feels exactly the same way. I think he's grieved and hurt by what the drunk driver did as much as I am. So don't confuse God with life." And they went on in their discussion, you know, to talk about the people in the Bible who God loved and the things that they endured. And they were talking about, he said, think about three people. Daniel, Noah, and Job. One of them spent the night with a bunch of lions. One of them lived through a huge flood that killed thousands of people. And then, of course, there's Job, who's the greatest example of all unfairness in the Bible. And yet, they were favorites of God. That's scary, right? They were among God's favorites. And we can even top that, can't we? As we consider Jesus Christ, his very Son, and what Jesus endured, none of us have ever had to go through something like that. None of us. Nor will we. Now, anytime we talk about these things, there are always a million whys. That's the first question that gets asked, right? Why? Why does it happen? And the whys are probably among the most useless question to ask, because until we're with God, we're not going to know the details of the why. Sometimes we get hints, but we won't know. My guess is that some of the answers to the whys include that as we go through these things with God by our side, we are strengthened. As we go through these difficult challenges, we are humbled. As we go through these difficult things, we are given hearts of compassion, because if you've been through it, you cannot not have compassion for others who are in pain. As we go through these things, we come to be shaped and molded into people of strength. And there can be a beauty in people who have been through difficult times. As we look at this gentleman, Douglas, we see somebody who, in spite of all the adversity, is an inspiration, is a sign of courage, is a sign of love and faith. We can't always understand what's going on or why it's going on. I was struck this morning as I read the paper with the most recent article about this young woman we mentioned, Sarah Townsend, who died so young. And her father was very gracious in his comments. There was no sign of a loss of faith in him, even as he felt the pain. There was an appreciation for her life and the gift that it was, appreciation for those who worked so hard to find her, an appreciation for those who stood by as a community of love and support in a time of need. The funny thing that we see a lot of times in these difficult times is it brings out the best of us. And when we see these other times when everyone seems to have what they need and all is going well, it seems to bring out instead selfishness and self-interest and focus on a life of ease and comfort. There is a forgetfulness of the needs of others and that there are others out there that are suffering. I cannot answer the whys, but what I can say with total conviction from my own experience is that life is going to be a challenge for all of us, whether we believe in God or not. But as we believe in God and as we seek Him, He's able to transform those difficulties into amazing gifts. He is able to give us a strength that we would never have. He is able to give us a confidence that no matter what we face in life, that He will be there and then we will make it through. He is able to shape us into people who care for other people, people who serve and share. He is able to do beautiful things in impossible circumstances. As one writer wrote, it's each of us are gold in the making. But gold doesn't just happen. If you know anything about the process of gold, you know that it goes through all kinds of heat and purification. We too are gold in the making. And none of us can go through to be the people God wants us to be without those struggles. The difference between those who believe and those who don't is we have God by our side in the midst of those challenges. We're not alone. And we have the promise that all will be used for good. All of it. Let us pray. Almighty God, we struggle. We try to find our way. We don't always understand why things happen the way they do. But we thank you that you are there with us, walking alongside. We pray that you would strengthen our faith, that you would prune us and grow us to be the people you want us to be, and that you would give us compassionate hearts to use our challenges to ease the suffering of others. In your name we pray. Amen.